Matthew chapter 1. Interesting to note that verse 18, the Holy Spirit inspires Matthew to say this. Now the birth of Christ was like this. This is the Holy Spirit saying, here's what you need to know about the birth of your Savior Jesus Christ. Now let me caution you for just a second. When you're studying the Gospels, like we're doing this morning, when you're studying the Gospels, resist the urge to then want to go and look at all the other four Gospels to find out all of the details. You can do that. Luke, in his Gospel, in the first couple of chapters, includes some details that Matthew doesn't include. But here's what's happening. Right here in Matthew, the Holy Spirit is saying, here's how it went. And here's the details that you need to know here. The Holy Spirit is not just giving us a history lesson. I want you to understand that right here in the Gospel of Matthew and in any of the four Gospels, in any passage that you find yourself in the four Gospels, they are not intended just to be a history lesson. The Holy Spirit is not teaching us just what happened historically. The Holy Spirit is teaching us spiritual truth. And the details that He includes are details that the Holy Spirit included specifically because they are details that He needs for us to know to learn what we need to learn. And so when we consider the birth of Christ, what is it that the Holy Spirit says? Here's what you need to know about the Holy Spirit, about the birth of Christ. Here's how it went according to what I want to teach. That's what we get. Now, think about that question for just a second. What is it that the Holy Spirit says, hey, when it comes to the birth of Christ, here's the details that are important for you this morning. That's what we're about to dive into. Man, I want to know. I want to know how this went down. I want to know the details. Okay, great. Let's let the Holy Spirit take us on a tour. The birth of Christ was as follows. When, stop right there. That word when, we're getting ready to describe, the Holy Spirit is describing for us the circumstances. There is a when, there is a time factor. When these circumstances came together, what were the circumstances? When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Jesus before they came together. The birth of Christ happened, and I want you to, this is important. The birth of Christ happened when two things were in place. The first of which, that His mother Mary was in a committed relationship with a man. That His mother Mary was not just a single woman. The idea of betrothal, it's more than just engagement, the way that we think about engagement. It actually was a legal commitment. They just hadn't begun to live together yet. They just hadn't sealed the deal. But they were betrothed. They were committed to each other for life. And so think about this. The Holy Spirit crafted a set of circumstances where Jesus' mother was not alone. She was in a committed, lifelong relationship with a man who loved her, but yet she was still a virgin. That set of circumstances itself is unique in world history. The Lord did that. So when this happened is important. That His mother was not alone, but yet Jesus did not have an earthly father. Now, it says, before they came together, and then this is a key phrase, she was found to be with child. Now, that phrase, she was found to be with child, is that written from Mary's perspective or is that written from Joseph's perspective? That's from Joseph's perspective, isn't it? I want you to think about that for just a second. Here is Joseph, and he is engaged to this woman, but they are not living together. He's engaged to her. He's committed to her. He's committed to life to her, but yet they're not married yet. I can remember when Alice and I were engaged. And listen, this is my advice to all young couples. This is just free. Once you know that she's the one and you get engaged, then you get married as fast as you can get married. You just get married as quickly as you can. Allison and I did it in 4 months. We'd have done it sooner if we thought we could have. We got engaged in September, married January the 6th. And we arranged a snowstorm so Cody and Paige could share our anniversary with us. But I can imagine that Joseph, he was engaged. And you know what? That man was looking forward to being married, like all men are. And he was excited about that. And he loved her. And he was, I mean, just like any man, he was really looking forward to being married to Mary. But then she was found to be with child. That is a bombshell phrase. Don't you know that crushed him? What do you mean? What do you mean you're expecting? I thought even the way the Holy Spirit writes the phrase from Joseph's perspective, you can hear in that, what do you mean she's found to be with child? I think that must have been, that was a heavy blow to Joseph, as it would be to any man, because by all appearances, Mary had been unfaithful to him. She had done wrong. She had hurt him. And I can only imagine that he was crushed. She was found to be with child. And then the Holy Spirit gives us a little information that Joseph didn't have in the moment. But she was found to be with child, and that child was by the Holy Spirit. Mary had not been unfaithful to him, but Joseph didn't know that right then. But then the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just give us the setting anymore. Now he gives us how Joseph responded. It says in verse 19 that Joseph, her husband, see, betrothal is more than just engagement the way that we think about it, but Joseph, her husband, how did he respond? His response was to plan to send her away secretly. See, he had a number of options. He could have exposed her publicly, which is what the law allowed him to do. And that exposure publicly, she could have been punished in a number of ways, one of which she may have even been stoned for adultery or for fornication. And that was well within the law. He could have biblically done that. He would have been right biblically to expose her publicly and have her stoned. It would have been well within his right, according to the law, to do that. He would not have been wrong if he had done that, according to the law. But I want you to notice something. The Holy Spirit gives us a lot of detail about this guy. It says that he planned to send her away secretly. Why? Why did he plan to send her away secretly rather than to publicly shame her? Because he did not want to disgrace her. He didn't want to publicly expose her. He could have. He was well within his rights to do that. But he didn't want to. And the Holy Spirit gives us even more. Why is it that he didn't want to? The reason he didn't want to is because he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. Now, there's a lot in that. What does it mean to be a righteous man? Because, see, he would have been right according to the law. He would have been right to publicly expose her. So why is it that being a righteous man led him to do something that even the law allowed him to do. Well, here's the truth of it. He would have been right legally. He would have been right even biblically to publicly expose her. But you know what he would not have been? He might have been right, but he would not have been loving. If he had wanted to publicly expose her, he wouldn't have loved her, would he? But see, Joseph, when the Bible says that he was a righteous man, see, righteousness has nothing to do just with the fact that I kept the law. Joseph's righteousness had nothing to do with just the fact that he was doing what the law said. Joseph loved her. His righteousness was far beyond the law, and he loved her. Joseph was like the Lord, not just keeping the law. He loved her. And the Bible says he was a righteous man, and he didn't want to put her to shame. What kind of man? Men, let's just stop here for a second because we have to. What kind of man does the Lord choose to be the earthly father of God's own son? What kind of man does God choose for that? Right here, on the surface, there's no interpretation needed, just observation. God chose the kind of man to be the earthly father for his own son, a man who would treat Jesus' mother with love and with kindness, even in the face of perceived wrong and hurt. Think about that. God chose a man who would treat his mother with love and kindness, even in the face of perceived wrong and hurt. Joseph was a righteous man. And that's what righteousness looks like. These are details. The Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to know this is how it happened. You need to know this is who this man was. That's convicting. I look at that, and I hear what the Holy Spirit is describing Joseph as, and it is convicting. This man was righteous, far beyond just what the law said. He loved her and treated her with kindness and mercy, even though, for all he knew, she had done him wrong. She had hurt him. Now, let's keep going. So he planned, into verse 19, he planned to send her away secretly. Verse 20, but when he had considered all this, after he had already come up with the plan, when he had considered all this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph was making a righteous decision. He didn't have all the information to make the right decision. And so the Lord is not going to let you make a mistake just out of the blue, unknowingly. God came to him, and God filled him in on what he needed to know, that this child, Mary, has not been unfaithful. Mary hasn't hurt you. She hasn't done anything wrong. The child is of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit begins to describe who this child is. Let's watch. He says in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's translated, means God with us. Now, what did the angel tell Joseph about this son that he was about to be the earthly father of? Told him three things. Number one, that this birth this boy would be the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. That this was not just something that was happening just because. No, that this birth, and in fact, this young woman and this baby that she was about to give birth to, this has been planned since the prophet Isaiah. Ultimately, has been planned since before the foundation of the world. But this is the fulfillment of specific Old Testament prophecy. They should have known. They should have known. Because God had told them way back in the book of Isaiah, here's what's going to happen. So Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. And then the angel also gives him two names. The angel tells Joseph, this baby boy, you're going to name him this, and he's also going to be called this. And I want you to notice something really interesting, that both of those names, Jesus and Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit, right here in the passage, the Holy Spirit translates both of those names for us. Notice that. The Holy Spirit intentionally points out to us here 2,000 years later, all we have to do is just read. There's no reading between the lines. There's no interpretation. It simply is, all you have to do is read the words. And the Holy Spirit says he's going to call his name Jesus, and here's what that means. He will be called Emmanuel, and here's what that means. So let's stop. Let's stop right here. Verse 21, you shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus, in Hebrew, you would say Yeshua. It's the same, it's actually the same name as an Old Testament book of the Bible, Joshua. It means the Lord saves. And so the angel said to Joseph, you're going to call his name Yeshua, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, as Christians, when we get to Christmas time, just reading this, it hits me that I think the Holy Spirit intends for us, when we hear that name, to stop and to be struck with what that means. Jesus. The old song goes like this. There's just something about the name Jesus. Right? Y'all know that song? There's just something about that name. Well, this is what it is about that name. It's not that it's just something out there. It's just some vague notion of who God is. No, this is what is about that name. And the name Jesus means God saves us from our sins. Now think about that for just a second. Think about our sin. Think about the pain that our sin has caused us and will cause us. And if you are honest with yourself, sin has caused you pain, hasn't it? Sure it has. And if you don't recognize that sin has caused you pain now, consider what sin will do to you. One of these days, you're going to stand before a holy God, the creator of the universe. We were talking on Wednesday night about the sun because we were in a passage that was talking about creation. And we were talking about the sun. Remember last year with the solar eclipse and how you had to buy those glasses to see the solar eclipse because at like 6 million miles away, the sun will burn your eyes out if you look at it. Imagine standing before the creator of the sun. And he says, Chad Brady, I said this. Did you obey me? No, sir. If your sin has yet to cause you pain, which it most likely has, but even if it hasn't, it will ruin you on that day. And so we recognize, man, my sin, man, I wish I hadn't done that stuff, but I can't erase what I did. Now, take that and say, okay, I don't want to sin anymore. Try it. Try to always be kind. Try to always be kind. Try to say nothing that is not unkind to anyone ever for the next year. Just try it. Chad Brady? Am I kind? Yes, sir, you are always kind. Chad Brady, did I create you in my image? Yes, sir, you did. Chad Brady, did you accurately reflect my image as my creation? Were you kind like I am? No, sir. Well, Chad Brady, if I gave you life to reflect my image, then Chad Brady, and you didn't do with it what I told you to do with it, what am I supposed to do? Man, I don't want to answer that, Lord. See, the fact of the matter is, we're stuck where we would be. We're stuck. And I want, for just a second, I want us to feel the weight of our sin. I want us to feel the weight of our sin. You can't get out of it in this life. You can't overcome it in this life. It has caused you pain and ruined relationships and missed blessings because of your sin in this life, and it will bring you pain for all of eternity. And there's nothing you can do about it because you've already blown it. And even if you tried, you couldn't, and you are stuck. But the name Jesus means that He will save us from our sin. Oh, praise the Lord. You mean I'm not stuck anymore? You mean I don't have to face the Lord? You mean there's an opportunity that I won't have to face what I deserve because of my sin? And you know what? Not only will I not have to face the penalty for my sin when I stand before Him, but you mean there's the opportunity for me to now actually overcome the sin in my life, that I'm not just stuck, that God might actually give to me freedom, victory over frustration and unkindness, and make me kind? And that for all of eternity, that there's coming a day when I see Him face to face and He will make me like Him, where that I don't even have to fight sin anymore. You mean He would do that for me? You will call Him Jesus because He will save us from our sin. And I think right here in this passage, when we hear that name, Jesus, all of that ought to come rushing in. God has not just given us a lesson, some vague idea of His mercy and His grace. This is not just an intellectual concept that God is merciful and gracious. He's given us His name, Jesus. And it means that He will save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't want to be who Chad Brady naturally would be. And the name Jesus means that I don't have to. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Because He will save His people from their sins. And if that were not enough, man, we could close the book right there and go home and be full. But it's not all. Because He says that this baby will not just be called Jesus, this baby will be called Emmanuel. And the Holy Spirit says, don't miss this. It means God with us. That this little baby is 100% man. We sing this in the Good News Club. Totally God and totally man. Y'all know that song? That this little baby, he knows what it's like to cry. And he knows what it's like to hurt. And he knows what it's like to have joy. And he knows what it's like to be disappointed. And he knows what it's like to have somebody lie about him. And he knows what it's like to have hopes that are destroyed. This little baby knows us. Or he will when he grows. He knows us. And he knows everything that we go through. And he can sympathize. But he doesn't just know us and can sympathize with us. He's God. He is God with us. And he is here. And he is present. And we are not alone. And we don't have to wake up in the morning and say, man, I don't know how I'm going to face the day. I don't know how I'm going to make the decisions that I know I'm going to have to make today. I don't know how I'm going to get through this day. I don't know how I'm going to carry this weight. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what? The fact that God is with us. God is here. He's with us. That means that I don't have to just get to the end of my rope before I call him. Do you know that? That means that I don't have to struggle and try and attempt and find that I'm a failure before I call out to him. That I can call to him now because he's here with me. I don't have to get to the end of my rope. I can call him now before I get there and say, hey, I'm there. Help. And he's here. He's with us. One of the greatest comforts in my life, one of the greatest joys in my life, this is the Lord's truth. And I'm just being transparent with you. One of the greatest comforts in my life is the truth. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is a great joy and comfort to me to realize that when I wake up in the morning, that every morning I can wake up, and the truth is that my greatest responsibility all day long is simply to walk next to Jesus and be taught by him. That's all I got to do. That's all I got to do. I go in the place that he has put me, and the things that he has given me to do, he enables me to do, and he teaches me how. And the weight of my world is not on my shoulders, it's on his. And the decisions that I have to make, it's not on my shoulders, it's on his, because he will teach. And I just walk next to him because he will lead. Take Joseph, for example. Joseph didn't have to figure it out. God said, Joseph, here's what you're going to do. Well, what should we name him? Joseph, you don't have to decide what to name him. I'm going to tell you what to name him. Joseph, when you wake up in the morning, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Egypt. What? Go to Egypt. Joseph woke up one morning in Egypt, and God said, go back to Israel. Well, where are we supposed to go? Don't go to Judea. Go to Nazareth. What? Go to Nazareth? Okay, go to Nazareth. Joseph's life is evidence that the Lord, he is with us, and he will lead us. And our greatest responsibility is simply to wake up and walk next to Jesus and be taught by Jesus. And he will give us everything that we need. Why? Why? Because that baby His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And I think we are meant to stop Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. This little baby. His name is Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. His name is Emmanuel, because He is God with us. Those two truths. The Holy Spirit says, hey, the birth of Jesus went like this. Now, for the rest of the week, that's what we need to think about and ask the Lord to drive deep into our hearts. And it may be that you are here and there has never been a time where you have realized, oh man, my sin, that's bad. And that's not a good weight for me to bear. And I can't get out from under it. And I cannot escape it. And I'm stuck. You need Jesus, because He alone can save you. And if you have never trusted Him like that, you need to. And I beg you to today. But if you have, if He has saved you from your sin, you need Him to be with you. You need Him with you every hour. Every minute, you need Him. We need Him. So both of these truths that we see right here in this passage, both of these truths we desperately need to hold on to. They ought to be some of the most significant truths in our lives, because we need Him. So just a second, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And there isn't one single one of us in here that doesn't need Jesus to save us and Emmanuel to be with us. And as we sing, we need to respond and we need to look to the Lord and thank Him and recognize our need for Him and recognize what He is offering us in the birth of His Son. And then as the Holy Spirit moves within our hearts, and maybe there is some sin, maybe there is a neglect of the Lord that we need to say, man, I don't need to do this by myself anymore. I need to walk with Jesus. You need to allow Him to do what He is putting on His finger in your heart right now to do. Don't walk out of here without that. Let Him do it. Father, God, I praise You that Your Son's name is Jesus. God, I praise You that His name is Emmanuel. God, thank You for sending Him to save us. Thank You that You are with us. God, I pray that You would drive those truths deep in our hearts and our lives and our hearts and our all would be Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.